Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Bill Novotny, and I'm chairman of the Johnson County Board of Commissioners. Just a couple of things before we kind of jump into discussion on how we're going to help these impacted folks. I want to give you just this kind of an idea of the scale of what we're looking at. Last figures, there were 148,342 acres of private deeded ground that were burned. The majority of this fire is on private deeded ground. About 16,000 of that is on BLM and about close to 10,000 on state. That is a very, very preliminary estimate of us overlaying the known fire boundaries on the county's GIS to figure out ownership. If you are a producer in the room and you have not been contacted yet, either by phone or by email, there is a producer form over there. We're trying to gather as much data on your loss, whether it's fences, grass, facilities, or livestock, so that hopefully by noon today we will submit our request to Governor Gordon for a USDA disaster declaration. We have a FEMA disaster declaration, but at this point, if we do not get that USDA disaster declaration, a lot of the programs through FSA and NRSC will not be available. Those folks are here. We'll let them wave their arms and speak for just a little bit, but that's really not the preliminary purpose of what we are here to talk about today. Today is to talk about those private efforts to address recovery. We do have a volunteer sheet over there to gather as much information about you so we can hand that off to the committee that hopefully will take off these efforts and run. If you do not know Micah Most from Cooperative Extension, he's in the green hat right there. He is going to kind of be the county's lead and conduit on anything involving feed or range. So please get to know him and work with him, because that's actually part of what Cooperative Extension is supposed to do in emergencies like this. Beyond that, we just offer you our sincerest sympathy and condolences for your loss. I want to remind you that there are mental health options available in emergencies like this. Nobody should feel like they are alone or not supported. So please know that those are available in the community and also through the 988 line. Beyond that, Barry, am I missing anything that we needed to cover before you hit goals and purposes?
I don't think so, Bill. Again, for those of you who don't know me, Barry Crago, originally we called this meeting or thought it would be a good idea to just organize all of our individual private relief efforts, because we're going in a lot of different directions. There's lots of folks wanting to help, and there's really no organization to that. And my fear is that we're going to duplicate efforts, and we're not going to be as efficient as we could as if we were all teamed up on one team and then figuring. And the only way to figure out how to do that is to be in one room, get together, and make a plan as a community. And so that was our original purpose. I think it morphed into something a little bit more than that. And so we've asked. I know NRCS is here. I didn't see if FSA was here. But I was going to invite Allison up to at least just give a quick update from her perspective, what it's looking like from NRCS real quick, and then we'll get in, and if FSA shows up, we can have them also give us a little spiel, but then we'll bail into the main purpose of the meeting, and I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth between all of us. We have some things we want to talk about, but not necessarily in any particular order. So Allison, if you don't mind, that would be fantastic.
Sure. So, morning everyone. I'm Allison McKenzie with the NRCS. And so, we live in a wonderful county that takes care of us, I think. And we really needed the county to put in for the disaster declaration. And so we have that. Like Bill said today, it's going to go at noon. So what that'll do is, on our side of things, it will give money, farm bill money, or Congress will allocate us money, but more than likely it'll be emergency environmental quality incentive program. So we call it our EQIP program, but it'll be able to help with fences, stock tanks, probably solar wells if you've lost those, just the main core practices that we normally do, prescribed grazing, some looking at doing some cheatgrass spraying and that. So the numbers are huge, but hopefully the request comes in. I know that we've used the money for fire in other states. Arizona was a big player in that money, so we're hoping we can get it. So I think it's a dual effort for what Bill has. I will be able to use those sheets because we're going to share all that information. So I think that let's just communicate and work together, and hopefully we get the money to help everybody.
And just to piggyback on that, I mean, I think the sooner we get all of our ducks in a row, the sooner we get to the front of the line. And that's, you know, speaking on behalf of our county in particular, and part of Sheridan, where the, you know, where the fires, this particular fire has gone, that we want to get our stuff in as soon as possible, because that increases the likelihood of we can get funding back to our county for a particular fire. Everybody else is going to be doing the same, but it's hopefully we're organized the quickest, and we can help them help other people if we have a blueprint on how to do some of this stuff. So, I mean, they've already called and asked for some of our forms and stuff that Bill put together. So that's why we try to get all the ball as quick as possible. And I think it's worked. I think we have most of the data back that we requested from folks, which is pretty amazing, actually, that we were able to do that. It shows how good a community we live in, that people are responsive and get back to us right away. So that was really nice.
So if we get the funding, we'll have a sign-up period, and we'll make sure everybody gets contacted that was in the fire. So, and then we'll move through the process.
So, Allison, can you talk a tiny bit, like, what can be done prior to the funding coming through?
Yeah, prior to, we need to prop the fence up. We don't, if we go to building the fence, then if the, and I realize some of you have to, but if the fence, if we get new fence up, we won't be able to cost share on the new fence from FSA's side being their emergency conservation program or our side. So if at all possible, if we can prop it up and make it work, and hope that, I'm hopeful here in the month we know if we're going to have it or not, the funding to help you.
And I did, in talking to the governor's office, as soon as Bill and Kristen and myself can get all the numbers put together and get them to the governor's office, hopefully later today, they'll probably have a day turnaround to get their stuff put in order and sent to USDA. We're hoping 7 to 10 days we'll have an answer back from them on whether or not they're going to will qualify, and they'll release those funds through USDA. So that's kind of the timeline we're looking at, just so you'll know.
So Allison, it's a shame that they don't speed that up a little bit, because there's a lot of time before the ground freezes, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of work to be done, and
yes.
I hate to see it where we have to wait till springtime.
Well, we're hoping this fall, as soon as we can get, so I think we're going to have a sign-up period, but I think it can be 15 days. And the sad but beautiful thing is I've worked with gobs of you, and I already have all of your fences and all of that. So it's going to take, once they release the money and the sign-up period is over, it's going to take us nothing to get you guys contracts so you could roll this fall. I say
so
nothing. There's 24 hours in a day, but
the percentage of funding, like whether it's going to be 100%, 70%,
30%,
at some point.
It's going to be just like our program. We're going to pay so much a foot for the fence,
okay.
and we're going to pay so much for the solar panels. We're going to pay, it'll be a flat cost, and you guys will know what that is.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And I might throw in there too, when we're talking Kosher, or Zach Byram, Clear Creek Conservation District here in Buffalo. Not only is the district going to be kind of a conduit with Allison, but when it comes to cost share, initially it sounds like what we can do to help is maybe reduce that owner portion of the cost share through NRCS. So as an example, if they're 75-25, we may be able to step in and offer another 10% on top of that. So just know that we're going to be involved with that process and try to fill in the gaps where we can.
I do want to add one of the other hiccups that we're going to run into. Some of these NRSC programs do not allow sheet-type fencing. It has to be wildlife fencing. So we will be asking for an exemption to that rule. That's their policy, but we know so much of this country is sheep country. So we will do everything we can do to get a federal waiver on that, so that if you need to put sheep-type fencing on your operation, that you will not be excluded from these cost-share programs.
Yep, and we're working on that. We have several phone calls later today dealing with that specific issue. So, and also making sure that the feds are well aware of what's going on at the national level, so that hopefully that expedites our request and make sure there's all of the available sources of funding for us are hopefully going to be available. But we'll see how that goes.
And Barry, Courtney with FSA just stepped in, so I don't know if you want her to give an update. And
that would be great. And we have a senator behind that, so
I apologize for being late. We've got people going in every different direction right now. I'm Courtney Elton with Farm Service Agency. I cover both Sheridan and Johnson counties. Been a heck of a couple of days, and we've got a lot of different things going all at the same time. For fire, we've got about 8 different programs that we can cover losses. So it's going to be trying to figure out where do all these things fit into all these different programs. For example, grazing losses. Well, grazing losses on private ground are under one program, but grazing losses on an BLM or Forest Service ground are in a different program. So we have to kind of separate those out. We've got our GIS systems that work really well for coping with that, but just adds another layer of complication to all this. I think everybody's probably first and foremost focused on fencing and getting that back up and going. We are going after and looking at some waivers to make it so that you all can start work before we've got everything approved, so to speak. That's yet another process we got to jump through. We're still kind of trying to figure it out and making sure that all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. This is going to be so much money that folks in D.C. are going to be looking at really, really closely, and we've got to make sure we get everything perfect, because I don't want to give them the opportunity to say, this wasn't done right, you don't get paid. Biggest things we need folks to know right now: if you find any dead critters, please take a picture. I know you don't like it. I sure don't like looking at the pictures. But we have to have some kind of proof of loss. Well, I believe you that you lost critters. The way the handbook is written, I have to have something. So take a picture. It doesn't have to be of every single dead critter, but if you're claiming you lost 200 and you've got a picture of 3, it's kind of hard to justify to an auditor that 200 is reasonable. So take pictures if you find any deaths. Keep really good records on the ones that maybe had some smoke inhalation, maybe some burnt feet. If they died within a certain time period after the fire is over, we can include those in another one of our programs. But just keep good records of found them this day, we tried, we doctored them this way, they ended up dying. Keeping good records on those, that's crucial. And then the fencing, please don't touch it for right now. I know it's hard, but just don't touch it. There are very strict federal rules that come into play with federal money concerning environmental reviews. So I have to go out and I have to do those environmental reviews before anything can start. So we're looking at, are we going to be impacting any endangered wildlife species? Are we going to be impacting any cultural resource sites, those kinds of things? So we have to have that review in place before any work can be done, even pulling old posts up. I'm doing my very best. I'm going out on Friday out to a fire in Sheridan to take a look at a bunch of those to try to get those reviews done. But we've got to have those done. The nice part is, let's say you've got 2 miles of fence that you've got to get in right now to keep your critters in. We can go out, we can look at that 2 miles, and then the rest of it we can do later. So we can kind of chunk this up a little bit. And if you have the availability to do that, that's going to be huge, and that's going to be very, very helpful for us, because it's me that gets to go out and do all that. And I've got, between the two counties, I don't even know how many hundreds of thousands of acres we're going to have to look at. So as much as you can, do as little as it's going to take now to get you up and get you going, and then let's focus on the rest of it, you know, the big picture view as we get to so that's the biggest thing with fences. I've got Caleb back at the NRCS office right now. I'm going to head back there after we're done here, and we'll be more than willing to answer any specific questions that you have. Go through, start looking at fences if you need to get out there right now and get fences built. Please come talk to us, and we'll get a better handle on what we've got going and kind of what we can do now.
I have a question. Are you going to do a day in KC, or do we need to direct those landowners up here to the Buffalo office?
Ideally, we'd like to do producer meetings in KC, Buffalo, and Sheridan. Still working on trying to get those scheduled at this point, but I'm not going 19 different directions.
Right.
But ideally, we'd like to do one in KC as well.
Okay, I just know you guys use my office, and I just want to let them know if they ask me what to tell them.
Yeah, that's the hope. We're still working on scheduling. I'm trying to get them as close to right now as possible, but finding places that have some openings in the next couple weeks, and then, holiday weekends and stuff in there too. So, yes?
So my inquiry is on the cultural and the art, cultural archaeology. Wildlife use. Can these producers that have BLM already, some of that's already done because of oil and gas development, can that be utilized? Can your office utilize that? Or can you use that office, BLM, to help you with your efforts?
We can use a little bit. The way the handbook is written, we have to use our form. So, and it is after fire, that process is much easier than normal. I know we've had some problems in the past with some of our folks that are drilling wells after a drought under this same ECP program, and it's taking years because we have to get an archaeologist out there. For fire, that's not the case. We have some exclusions we're able to use. It's just a matter of me getting the paperwork done. Going out, taking a look. BLM ground, there is a little bit in this fire, but it's not massive by any means. So we are reaching out to the BLM, seeing what kind of resources they can give us. But realistically, it's 40 acres here, 60 acres there, 100 and some acres over here.
But to be clear, it's a lot of federal mineral.
Yes.
So there is a federal nexus to wildlife and to cultural resources, and that's what I want. I just want to know if that can be utilized. So hopefully that's getting followed up on.
Yep, we do kind of tap into their systems, and the 850 form that we're going to be using is not that hard. It's a checklist that says, have you pulled up the list of endangered species for this area? Yes, I've looked. That's not a problem. You know, check the box and move on.
Thank you.
The site visits, they want us, FSA, and also our NRCS counterparts, sorry, Allison, to lay eyes on the fence before it's removed, because we're also doing what's called a needs assessment, where we're supposed to look at this fence and say, yep, it needs to be repaired, or, you know, it needs to be replaced. So we're also kind of fighting that, too. That's another step in this process that has to be done. We're kind of putting the cart before the horse to try to get you so that you can go right away, at least on some parts. So it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a lot of moving parts all at the same time. But yes.
I'm asking more questions because I'm actually from Campbell County.
You're fine.
We're having this meeting tonight or this afternoon. So. Do you have to go type for fence? If you have a traditional barbed wire fence, do you have to put barbed wire back in, or can you go to electric or something else?
We will pay for barbed wire. And the other caveat to us paying for your fence, it has to be done to NRCS specifications. So,
but Eric, we can switch and go to electric.
Okay. As long as it's at whatever standards.
Right. The challenge that we spoke earlier about is our sheep fence. That's going to be a challenge. But otherwise, we definitely at the moment can move to different fences that we have.
And we have the request in. It's moving up the chain to be able to either look at a woven fence for our sheep folks or a five-strand fence for the sheep folks. But it's definitely not uncommon in the state of Wyoming, and that is moving up the chain.
One question I have, Courtney, is seems like staffing is going to be an issue. I mean, we're talking hundreds of miles of fence. Do we need to make requests to get additional staff in to help you? I mean, how do you perceive that going? How do you plan on getting around all that fence? If we have to look at every section of fence before we get out there to replace it, I just don't. I mean, that's going to take a year.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
And so is there a way we can help you get additional help so that we can get that? I mean, can we get some people on assignment from some of the other offices to help you? Or what do you think about that?
We are working on that. We're trying to get a state-based jump team, so folks from the state of Wyoming in. We're working on that. We'll see how it goes. It's a budgetary issue, unfortunately, at this point, this late in the fiscal year, but help is on the way, for sure. We can also look at potentially requesting a national jump team, so that would be people from all over the United States would come in and help. We've got that. We're kind of looking at that and seeing if we need to go that route as well. But yeah, it is extreme, the number of fence and miles of fence we're going to have to look at. Unrealistic when it's me and Allison and Shane, and there's three of us. We're definitely got the bat signal up, and we're trying to get help everywhere we can.
So, is there anything we can do to help you?
They can fly it.
I will think on that, and I'll let you know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
So can any of the fence be flown or with a helicopter or fixed-wing plane to expedite some of this?
Or drone?
Thank you. Good job.
Yeah. We're looking into drones a little bit. We're looking into what flexibilities we have, especially with the needs assessment. When I've worked on these kind of disasters previously, I was told if you do not lay eyes on every single foot of fence, that needs assessment is invalid. However, the person that told me I don't think has ever worked on anything this scale. So we're looking at any flexibilities we have as far as just being able to take our GIS mapping and say, we can obviously see there's a fence right here. We can measure it, with our GIS capabilities. Yep, that fence was burnt. Can I go out, take a couple pictures, take side-by-side, drive past it, and say, yeah, it needs to be replaced. So we're looking into every flexibility we can to try to make drones, anything happen. Because, if one producer loses 100 miles of fence and we've got 15 just as big, it would take years for me to look at all this fence. Yes?
Sorry, piggybacking off of what he was asking, I think I just want a little clarification. Some of the regulations for oil and gas and mineral are insanely strict, and you're saying that with the fire, that it's possibly less strict. So what are the options of duplicating those efforts? The BLM has thousands upon thousands of records of fence and access and minerals and all of that. If we're all trying to do the same thing, can we not just duplicate? I mean, even if you just get those people to help you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're essentially reviewing the same type of thing. I think training five people from the BLM one day to go out and do the same thing that we're all trying to get done would be a little more effective than realistically thinking that you three are going to get it done.
Yeah.
What are the thoughts on utilizing the already recorded records?
Yeah. I'd love to. It's a matter of, first of all, getting their help. And I'm in conversations with them a little bit. If you have a contact that might be able to assist me a little more than getting the runaround, that'd be great.
With the BLM?
Yes.
Okay. I'll make the call right now.
All right.
Right now. The BLM archaeologist told me that on private land, if the NRCS is building it, then they might have to get sign off. But if you're just providing materials, no. On private land, archaeologists don't need to see it if they're not filming it.
For their rules. For our rules, we do have to see it. And that's where it gets kind of sticky, where you get all these different agencies in there. Everybody has different rules. And while they may have their mapping, the way the sharing of data isn't quite as seamless as you would think sometimes. And sometimes we have to get some very special permissions, and it's got to go to some very high people to get access to their data sometimes. So that is definitely a good idea, and I will look into that. Yes?
So I know you and Shane and Allison can definitely do this. Can you utilize your conservation district partners? So like myself, Zach, Amanda, Carrie, and them guys in up there to look at fence, or does it have to be a USDA employee? Because we are USDA partners.
Yes. I don't have the rules in front of me of what becomes a qualified technical service provider, but I will definitely look into that.
Because I'm happy to run some fence line.
Yeah, there's definitely rules about who can be our technical service provider.
I'll do what I can. It's been a couple years. So yeah, I just was curious since we're USDA partners.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea, for sure.
So, I mean, it'd add three down here in your workforce.
Yeah, so. That would be great.
Which would double you.
Yes. We're small but mighty.
Yes. So, again, I want to remind people there are office hours going on at NRCS Buffalo office. If you want to go over and talk with them, we will do our best to make sure that they're down here for regular office hours. But what we want to steer this back to is the discussion of how we get on-the-ground relief now through all of the people. You can see the list of people that want to help. Obviously, you're hearing the speed with which the government is going to move, good or bad. People need relief and help now, and so that's the purpose of this discussion. So do you want to turn it over to her, or do you want to keep going through that?
We can keep going through. Okay. So I think Scales was nice enough to prepare sort of an agenda for us, sort of a list of things we need to talk about. Not, like I said, not necessarily in any order, but I'll run down through this. Just open the discussion up. I'll start walking through some of these. There's other people listed on this agenda that have some things to add or talk about. And when we get to them, we'll call on them. So the first thing on here, and I think this is actually maybe one of the most important first thing that Meg put on here, is we really need to figure out what the needs are. What do people need? Where do they need it? When do they need it? How do they need it? And so, I don't know if we, obviously we're not going to decide that today, but what we can decide today is who of us is going to be responsible for figuring that out. What's that look like? Is it a committee of people, which is what I would suggest, is we set up a committee of, we get five people that will volunteer to take that particular job duty on, which is assessing the, talking to all of the people. We have a list of everyone who is affected by this fire. At least we have the landowners. We don't necessarily have the lessees, but most between all of us, we can figure out who that is. All one person that's next to the lessee can go to the lease property and figure out who actually has the lease. And so, and that's what we did as far as figuring out the fire damage on the surface, which doesn't include all the damages for us trying to get the declaration. And so I think that's probably the most. Everything else we're doing falls behind that, because until we know what people need and where they need it, the rest of it's just going to be money flowing in or resources, whether it's hay, offers for grazing, whatever it is. We don't know what we need until we talk to everybody. And we also can't do an assessment of how to get it out until we know what everybody needs. And so I guess I'd take any comments or questions on that first piece, and or any suggestions on how we deal with it.
Is that really just a matter of synthesizing all of the forms that everybody's filling out? Like, I mean, is that like a good place to start and then move out from there?
I think that's a good starting point. Most of our neighbors are going to be reluctant to fill out a form, I think. I think it's going to be a question of calling them up and saying, and I think it's going to take some more personal touch on that, because a lot of us are going to not want to fill out a form and say, yeah, I want to take a donation. I think there's a lot of folks that are going to feel that way. That's just how we are, to be honest. So I think it's going to take phone calls and saying, hey, what did you lose? How can we be helpful? And if it's one of their neighbors calling to ask, I think they're going to be a lot more likely to accept that than if they're just filling out a blank piece of paper. But that's just my, like, again, I'm no expert in this. None of us have really done this before, and we're all doing it together. that's the point of the meeting today, is to get as many ideas out there that we can all hopefully pick the best ones and use them to give the resources to the people that need it. Any other thoughts on that piece?
I think that there's been some information shared from some people down in Texas that just dealt with their related acre fire on how to deal with these. And I think that's going to be, I mean, they've done it 4 times now. So I think, honestly, maybe using that as a template is going to really save you. So I know that maybe we don't want to fill out forms. I totally understand that. A bookkeeper has a lot of taxes. I get the forms thing. But if it's a matter of creating a committee and having a simple, like, Google sheet that is accessible via Facebook or whatever, and it's just a simple, here's my name, number, and I need help, I don't need help, I don't know where to start, we're already 4 days behind the schedule, in my opinion, so I don't know how to... I feel like focusing our efforts on phone calls is going to be a little harder, because in my perspective, a rancher is not going to answer the phone. He's like, yeah, let me walk you through over the phone really quick while I'm trying to also find my cows. Like, I mean, there's got to be someone that, there's some way that we can get a list from emergency management of all the properties and start somewhere.
We already have that.
Oh, okay.
So, know that we are not 4 days behind. We are 10 days ahead. The other counties don't even have disaster declarations yet. So we are working as hard as we can to help these people.
I'm not saying that we're not. I'm meaning that it feels like I want to try and help as much as I can, and if that means calling people, I'll do that. But if it just is something as simple as like a quick sheet online that is just a name and number that they can submit to us, I feel like that would almost be more helpful.
So just
we have a whole room of providers here. What do you guys want to do? Do you want to give us a form so we can help assess what you need? Do you want us to come visit you? Will you take a call from somebody because you're out busy? You tell us. What's the best way to get you the help that you need and find out what that help is? Now's your chance. Otherwise, we're giving you forms.
So just a little bit of background. I mean, yesterday when we called, I mean, we split up, 5 of us called every single landowner yesterday, and by 4 o'clock yesterday, we had talked to every single person except one, literally. And so it works. Because
I wasn't trying to offend anyone.
No, you're not offending us. You're not offending us. I'm just throwing that out there.
How we're best helpful.
I think you might have to do both, right? I mean, I think the phone call is how you get the form, because some of our friends and neighbors aren't even going to know the form's available if we don't pick up the phone and say, hey, we're going to need you to tell me on this form what you need. I think you're right. Like, I'm not opposed to the form. Don't get me wrong. I just think that's how you get the form. That's how we have a whole stack of forms that all of our friends and neighbors filled out yesterday, and some of them are returning them today. But we literally talked to every single landowner in the fire between 5 of us yesterday. We just did a phone. We did a phone bank. Divided it up. You call these 10 people. You call these 10 people. You call these 10 people.
And did you gather the information yesterday that we're talking about?
Yes.
So
we didn't gather. We didn't gather needs. We had a different focus yesterday, which was gathering damage estimates, so that we can apply for the disaster declaration from the USDA, because it's different than FEMA. We have to have fairly concise numbers on how much we lost, because there's a threshold that we have to get over the top of before the governor can request. And so that was our goal yesterday, totally different than what we're here for today. But I think the same thing would work, get people to fill out.
If we call, or is it a site visit, something that would be more doable? I can fill out your form while you're vaccinating cows. I have no problem doing that. But, you know, because I know you can talk and do that at the same time. So can we facilitate helping you, because I know you're all very busy right now. You know, it would be better if we came to you versus you trying to get a phone call from us. I know it was very effective yesterday, but what's the best way?
So, ma'am, because I don't know you and the agency,
correct.
Can you say we
are? My name's Cindy, and I'm out on trading. So I'm a neighbor out there.
Okay, so you're not with an agency.
I'm with the Recommend Health Foundation. And we're going to offer us some help as well for you. But I, in the meantime, I also want to help as a neighbor. So I want to help get you what you need, so you don't have to worry about that.
And can, just, I'm going to piggyback off of what this very nice Johnson County resident said. There, we need to also collect data on and contact information for people that are here specific to wanting to help with the volunteer efforts, and we can get that. And one of those questions on that sheet that we have over for people who would like to volunteer is those organizations that you represent. So please make sure either you take one or you fill one out today before you leave, because that's going to help us hand that off to this private effort as we work on the public side of getting it.
Ashley.
I think the big thing is, you know, how do we do it? Everybody's like, how do we do it? I think you're right on the starting point. There needs to be a committee that explores all the ways to contact people, because not every way is going to work the same for everybody. But I would be willing to be on that committee.
I would be too.
We got a question for that on that point. So circle that one if you want to serve on that committee.
Margaret?
I'm only mainly interested in kind of the long list to just figure out where we are, and then I'm willing to go back to the lists. But I, right now, I don't know what, you know, what the post is there. I don't have an agenda, so sorry.
Anything else? Okay, anything else on that? All right, so then the next bullet point on the list is the Wyoming Rancher Relief Fund. And maybe you can speak to that a little bit, because I know nothing about it. I mean, all I know is there's a bunch of groups out on Facebook, and not all of us know about all of them, or if you're not on Facebook, you don't have any of them. And so I don't know if you have anything you want to add on that.
I'd be happy to. On Niagara Scales, I'll try and get the scope. I talked to the gal that's involved with it, but I know that there are many people in the room that are way more involved than me, so please jump in if I'm misrepresenting anything. But there's a relief fund that was started on Facebook with a private rancher, Kylie Clock, out of Meatland or Douglas. And her goal was essentially to help connect people that had needs with people that wanted to provide services and support. And this has all been private to date. My understanding is 2 days ago she finally set up a 501c3, but to that point it was just a Venmo going to her personal account. She shifted those funds to a 501c3. Those funds, her goal is to raise $100,000. So far, I think I saw last night, it was like, say, $50,000 or $60,000 she had raised. When I spoke with her, she really wants to do whatever is in the best interest of each respective community and step back. She just saw that there was a gap in a need immediately through social media and being able to rally people and help the process for people to start to heal and feel heard. And so her interest primarily is to raise cash to subsidize trucking on getting paid to people that are in immediate need, and working with folks that are going to be distributing hay more long-term, so she can make connections with hay producers in other states. So she was unable to attend today, but she said if there's any way that she can be helpful, we literally just have to give her marching orders. She's working with the other counties as well. And I think her biggest concern right now, she's trying to be as guarded as possible in the process and not describe drop-off points or name names about need or producers, because of she can talk to the folks in Texas, and they said that there are a lot of scammers specifically affiliated with haying and with fencing. And so I'll circle back to her at whatever point we have more information and we want to get her marching orders. If there's anybody else who's spoken with her, I want to chime in more on that.
And just a thought on that, Meg, is, I mean, one of the reasons you and I talked about getting this whole group together is I'd just assume whoever's assessing need and actually delivering the resources be from our county, because they know the people and they know who needs. They can assess what those folks need or help assess what those folks need, and they also will make sure it gets to the right place. I mean, it hopefully eliminates the risk of scams and people out there trying to take advantage of the situation if it's run by local people. Because even someone in Wheatland, bless her, right, doing this, but even someone in Wheatland is not going to know all the players in Johnson County like we will, like the folks in this room are going to know. So, and even she might be doing everything she can, but she may not know who the folks are. So I think that's one of the reasons you and I talked about the importance of getting this set up. Because even if other groups are raising money, and then they bring it to whatever group we end up putting together to get it doled out, to get it to the right place, we can still do that. They still have individual places. Individual 501c3s raising money, but then they can deliver those resources to our 501c3 or whatever vehicles, maybe it's one, maybe it's two, that we have, and then we can make sure it gets where it needs to go. Then, any other thoughts on that? Yes, sir.
I came to donate $400 for hay because the people need it now, not tomorrow. And I'm going to write you a check for $400 to start purchasing hay, and I think a lot of these other people want to do that right now so those people can use it.
We appreciate that, John.
Yes.
Barry, Heidi and I were on the call with the Texas folks. Dallas Mount originated that conference call 2 days ago. He did record that call. Do you have that information?
Yes, I do. Heidi sent that to me.
Okay.
I had a
lot of good information, but
yes.
They were talking about exactly what Barry's talking about. Set up your 501c3 for your county. People are more willing to give to that 501c3. It's a more organized effort. So I think he recorded that conversation.
Yep,
so
we have that recording.
Very good.
We have not had a chance to listen to it because talking to the impact advisors first.
But I will try to get to it. So the next one on the list is the Bighorn Equestrian Center. I think you're up.
Yes, no, and I think Meg pretty well succinctly put it there. What our group's trying to do is pretty laser focused. Get some money raised for the short-term needs and good auspices of miles. We got an opportunity to purchase some materials reasonably. We're going to use the money for that and then distribute it. There's a committee. I'm not sure how official it is. I'm on it. I think there's going to be a couple other people to kind of, as you say, sort of review the players and make sure it gets put out there as equitably and evenly as possible. Obviously, the fact that the fence is, if there's going to be any federal money, can't be touched until they've been reviewed. Or kind of change that up, but maybe it's to the prop up or whatever else it is. But it's something that these guys came up with and want to get it done just as quickly and as laser focused as possible. And as Miles pointed out to me, we want to help all we can, but if we expect there's 500 miles of fence that went at 12,000 miles, there's $6 million. So we'll do what we want or what we can. But fairly short term, I think we all see this as a fairly short term piece of the project, trying to get it done as quickly as possible.
Can I jump in and provide some clarification?
Yes.
So the fencing is going to take a while. That money is going to take some time. There's a lot of things to jump through. The money for grazing losses, haystacks, the fern tub, those kinds of things, those are very quick through our office. As fast as we can get the documentation and get everything gathered together, it could be potentially a couple weeks. So that assistance is considerably faster than the fencing is going to be. So there is going to be money rolling out. That is not a multi-step process. Yes, sir.
For their benefit, roughly how long are we looking for fence?
For fence. To get paid?
To be allowed to put it in the ground. I mean, I know that's tough.
Answer is with all things FSA, it depends.
Okay. But that's for their information.
Months,
you know.
Weeks, years.
So, if you have that immediate need, there's a whole list of qualifications for immediate need. And that is, I need to keep my critters out from the neighbor's critters. That is one of those things. If you're able to do that for a couple miles of fence, you know, get your immediate need taken care of, we can get that fairly quickly.
probably within, I hope, 6 to 8 weeks. That's for everybody. However, the other problem we've got with this thing here is, not to turn you loose, that would be potentially to get everything approved and maybe get you some money for that. The other problem that we have with this ECP program is from the time you get the official approval, final approval, okay to go, you've got about a year to get it in. If you're doing 100 miles of fence, there's no way to get that done in a year. We can request certain extensions to maybe get it out to about 2 years, but those are all going up to the national office at that point. No idea if it's going to get approved. So now we're looking at needing contractors. We just don't have the contractors here and needing more time. So that's another layer of the it depends conundrum we find ourselves in.
Does that help you guys out? Give you an idea?
We're going to have to. I mean, I think we're going to have to work on that because that's not doable for anybody in this room, not one person in this room, and because what that means is we'll just be paying for it by ourselves. And so I think we're going to have to go to work on that. And that might mean all of us getting on the phone and calling our senators and our representative in D.C. and say, we need you to walk down the street and talk to the USDA because we need help on this. And so that's, I mean, I've already had that phone call with one of our senators. I'm going to have the other one here in about 45 minutes. But you all might have to do the same thing. Like that's something we're going to have to probably do and say, we need help. Because it's not your fault. Those are you're just doing your job. You're following the guidelines you've been given. The guidelines just don't work in this particular circumstance. And so that's where we all lean on our elected officials. And hopefully we can get a bunch of waivers for various things. I mean, it's going to be multi-level waivers, but that's what we're going to have to do. Otherwise, it's 8 weeks doesn't work for anybody in this room. We're going to have extensions on time as well because, I mean, there's some ranchers in this room that probably have lost 100 or over 100 miles just on their place alone. I mean, just on their place. And so there's a lot of fence to get to put that in. So, which is probably, I think, our biggest issue today. I mean, that we can deal with, right? When we can't grow grass and we can build fence. So
Barry, one question I would like to ask maybe to you and Mr. Bartle both is, some of us need to move our cattle out of state probably to winter. Usually that requires reading the bangs, identification tag, you got to bleed them, all that kind of stuff. They've been through enough stress. Is there a way that we can get a waiver on that so we could do a pasture move on those cattle and bring them back in the springtime without the stress?
I'm going to defer to a member, I guess, State Ag Board.
Wyoming Livestock Board.
Wyoming Livestock Board.
There has been an emergency rule implemented, and from what I read on it, you are allowed to move those cattle out of state, in state, over county line. You need to do two things. You need to inform the state that, so if you're going out of state, so that she can inform the other state that they're going into. You don't necessarily need all that stuff. They just need to know where they're going to land, so that down the road, if they need to be looked at, they know where they are.
So in 14, you know, after the driest year in history, when we moved cattle out of state, we had to bleed them.
That was
read the tag, which meant you brought them in, and right. Then a week later, when you got the results back, you can move the cattle, and I'm hoping that we can eliminate a step.
That's voided. It is. The emergency rule, which I can email to you, Dave.
And we'll make copies of it, Dave, and have it available before you
get there. Thanks. All you need to do as of right now, unless it's a planned movement, like you plan to sell your calves, that still has to be granted.
Oh, that's okay. I'm talking
right.
About Twitter needs.
But I'm just informing everybody in the room. This is a free-for-all.
Yeah,
okay?
Sure.
This is an emergency deal only. So you need to inform your local brand inspector. And then if you are going out of state, you need to inform the state vet, and she'll get in front of it to the state where you're going to. The other
hopefully your local vet can do it.
Yes.
On the state.
Yes. And the local or the neighboring states understand, they get it, and they're not going to fight it.
Great.
So there are things we can do there. Yeah.
Okay.
Keep track of your trucking costs because we've got the request and you pay for those.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to follow up on the trucking cuts, so the governor's going to do an executive order hopefully today on both pay, time of service, and oversized loads and livestock. So that'll, you'll have more operating hours and bigger loads. Or, anyway, so that should be coming today. You know, okay, that last night.
All right, next on the list is Mr. Snow. I think you were going to give there. You were going to give us a little bit of an update on the hay.
There's lots of people want to send hay, but I've been kind of holding a lot of trucks off to we can narrow down where they should go, so we ain't unloading or reloading. And the trucks I've sent out, I've just been paying for the trucking on it. Well, if I won't have to do that, if we can get it delivered right to where it needs to be. I probably got 10, 15 loads that are wanting to head this way, but it's going to have some direction.
Okay, is that hay being donated, or do we need to
donate it?
Because I had some guys in North Dakota, they said that they heard about the fire, they were sending two trucks down, and they were already on the way, and I told them to go to Buffalo Livestock. I didn't know where.
And that's bum okay, we can stack
but
it there.
I don't know, I said I don't know.
It just saves a lot of work and headache if we can drop it right where it needs
so
to go.
As soon as we can get you a list, we can get just, instead of going there, it can go to the landowner,
yeah,
the producers.
And again, for producers, just a reminder, if you need hay, your point of contact is Johnson County 4-H Extension, Micah, right there.
I have a question. Can you guys, when we're done, make a list that's typed out of Micah's for hay? And that way, like, we can post it in KC, we can put it on Facebook. Because I've had a lot of people ask me down there, who do I contact about hay? I want to donate, but I don't have list numbers. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what I need to do in my office to now. But if we could just get a list that we can post in every business, and because I know as much as I love KC, they're not exactly in the technological age yet.
Post office.
Well, and I think that's the point of today's meeting.
Yeah, I just think as soon as we get done, because like I had no idea that it was Micah and not Buffalo Livestock kind of thing. So.
And that's, we're now moving to our emergency management plan. Buffalo Livestock, we cannot thank you guys enough for stepping up and helping. We are so thankful. But we also know that you guys need to focus on running your yard.
And your fences.
We've got a big employee that is ready to help you get that done.
How do you keep your livestock here every year?
Anything else on hay?
I got something not on hay, but for the FSA, they said they pay for cows, like that get killed or help with it or whatever. Or if they die in a certain amount of time, there's going to be a lot of cows that got burnt feet or burnt whatever that aren't going to die, but they're only worth a quarter as much. Is there something you can push on there?
We can pay for injured livestock.
So how do you get a list on that, or what does a person need to do? Like if when he gathers them, does he need to get a head count on something that's all of them? Because there's going to be a lot of cows there.
There's going to be a lot of cows with burnt feet, yeah. There's very specific rules with that program of how soon they have to be sold due to their injury. I don't remember that date right off the top of my head, but that tends to be the problem with paying on injured livestock under that program. Specifically, we saw it before I came to Sheridan Jones County. I was down in Torrington, and we had those horrible cold snaps, and all the bulls were going sterile because it was so darn cold. Well, people don't test their bulls after every single cold snap. They test them once and then find out they were sterile and then turn around and sell them. It was outside that window, so I couldn't pay anything.
There should be a way to put in for an extension or something on this deal, I would think.
Potentially, I can look in that book and see what flexibilities we have. Yeah, there's going to be a lot with burnt feet and hides, and they're going to bring less. Flexibility in that case. Again, I'm not going to give you specific days because I'll tell you a day and I'll probably be wrong. And that handbook's about that thing. So, but yeah, there is some flexibility there. They'll have to bring in receipts showing how much they sold them for. ideally, I know generally when they go through the sale barn, it'll say burnt feet or something on them. That is helpful too.
All right, anything else on hay?
Yeah, very good.
Yep.
So one of the issues I'm running into right now, people have been very generous offering hay, so family and stuff. When my stack yard burned down, so did the fence. So the problem is finding some place to put it, you know. And then where I've had to put it, I don't have a stack yard fence to keep the wildlife and stuff out of it. So that's kind of a choke point for me personally. And I don't know if there's probably other people with the same problem.
I'm going to look at our fence team. Is that something that we could help them get portable panels to get immediate protection of that hay? So Jake, we'll work on that.
E&M pipe supply out of Belfouche, I think, would send us in my little self-standard or two up if we need it. I can call and offer it. Or for shipping crowds or whatever.
All right, anything else? Actually, just on that one, David Fish also has programs for fencing out haystacks in other parts of the state, and so there might be, you should probably put contact them. I didn't think I'd talk to them about some other stuff, but there might be some options there too. Jake.
Yeah, long term, anyways, but panels I think would be the easiest for now. And I'm sure you're not the only one. I mean, again, that's whoever the committee is that we set up to make these, start making those phone calls. Do you need hay? Do you need a hay corral? I mean, those are all things that, good points that we need to make sure make it onto our list of questions.
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody wants to donate hay, but
yeah.
Like yesterday, a guy called me, said I'm sending a truckload of hay. Well, I kind of don't have time to unload the hay. I've got 100 other things going on. I didn't have any equipment where I needed to unload it. Luckily, there's a neighbor there that unloaded it for me. But we unloaded it in a spot that didn't have protection. And it's just, we're more than appreciative of everyone offering the hay. But at the moment, it's not as immediate of a need. That's kind of the way everybody's going, but right now the hay isn't my biggest problem. That, you know, it's the fence, it's the and everybody's in a different situation, and maybe there's other people who need that hay right now. Just put that out. But it is like you said, you know, stacking it there at the sale barn is all well and good, but that means two moves, you know, and every time you move, hey, you break a bale or whatever, you know. I mean, we're kind of spinning our wheels at that point. If we can kind of hold that hay where it's at and then get it to the right spot later, it's probably more efficient.
And everybody's going to be different, every
yep.
situation. I mean, some people do have a hay corral, right? It's just, again, that's why we need to figure out what everybody's needs are, what they can take now, what they can take later. Again, that's where we need to get. So next on the list is the Johnson County Communities Foundation, which is a 501c3 that I helped set up earlier this year. It was actually set up to help with low-income workforce-type housing. It was its initial goal, but it's a broad-based Communities Foundation. We could use that as a conduit, I believe. I have a meeting with their board. It's not my foundation. It's one I helped five other people set up. But I think they're willing. I have to meet with them later today. But I think they'd be willing to let us use that as a vehicle to take donations, as long as they don't have to manage it. They're none of them are interested in managing donations or getting the donations out where they need. And I appreciate that. That's not what they signed up for. But if they could appoint, their board of directors could appoint a subcommittee, which we would give them the names here's the five people from our group that are willing to take the job on, do the accounting, because it'll be a large enough dollar amount we will have to do accounting. 501c3s, if you're under 50,000, you do what's called a postcard tax return. Once you're over that, you have to do an official return. I'm sure we'll be over that rather quickly. And so we would need to take care of that too. I'm sure one of our CPAs right now would be willing to donate doing the return. We just kind of talked to them. I don't think that's an issue, but we do have to do the accounting. Another thing, for example, none of them are going to want to take the time to set up online donation, Venmo type system. I don't even know how to do that, so I know there are people in this room that do. We would need someone on the, you know, someone on the committee that can do that, that can help with that, make it easy so that we could, you know, create a Facebook page just for that, make it a place where you can hit the button, donate money, and then have it linked up to our bank account, which they don't even have a bank account yet. So, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here. All that can be done rather quickly, but again, it still takes time. And so that was just one idea I had, because I knew that was a vehicle sitting there, has our county name in the name of the 501c3, but for example, the Equestrian Center has their nonprofit. I'm sure we could talk to them and do the same thing there. It does not, in my opinion, it doesn't matter which way we go. We just need to go in a direction that we all know. Here's where we're sending the money, because if we're sending it in 10 different spots and you have 10 different groups sending it out to the folks, it's just not going to, I don't think, be effective or efficient. And so before we leave here today, I'd kind of like the group to comment on what they think the best way to go is, which group, you know, how we, and I don't have a guarantee on whether we can use that 501c3 until 3 o'clock today, but if anybody has any other ideas or comments, questions, it'd be super helpful at this point.
I just want to go out there, we can't use, like, the Johnson County Fairgrounds Foundation, Friends of the Library, or the Johnson County Sheriff's Foundation, because of the way those were set up. And in talking with Barry, it would take us about 12 days to get a new 501c3 stood up with an EIN, which is why we're trying to commandeer the Johnson County Foundation so that people like John Hockett can write their check today and we can get that money going to help people, and also so that we make sure that the money that we raise stays in Johnson County. And we love Campbell County, but we really don't want to pay for fences or feed in Campbell County with money that was intended to help Johnson County producers.
Bill, if that one doesn't work, you might look. I know the KC community has a foundation too, because we used it for benefit.
We may commandeer that, but our hope is Barry, I think, set that one up pro bono, so we're hoping they're going to scratch his back a little bit and let us borrow that, because we do like the name. So.
Yeah, I just, as an option.
Yeah, no, that is it. So those two are almost identical, because I think that's the goal.
Yeah.
that would work, too. I mean, if we needed to, we could use that. But hopefully we can just use the county's
foundation. Yeah, if it was intermittent till you got something set up.
That's right. No, that's right. I mean, if we needed to, but I think this other one would work. And I just need to meet with them and walk through what it would look like. They're all a little bit nervous about managing that much money, and I just want to assure them that we would take care of that. The people in this room would do that, and they would not have to, other than just let us borrow the name.
So, Barry, is there any way that those groups can be together, knowing that, okay, this one gave these people this much money, we're not going to give them that much money again, we're going to take it and give it to somebody else, you know, so that one person doesn't get it all from all the donation areas and somebody else is left over here sitting going,
well, I mean, I think that was our point of trying to be here in the same room together so that we all know the various vehicles. My hope was, you know, we could get it down to one group, one 501c3, and so that it's not going through a bunch of different ones. Now, you know, some have already raised money. I mean, we know about fence, we know about hay, and so kudos to them for getting on the ball and getting that done. But as far as cash donations, which I think is going to be a little bit different. Hopefully we can, after today, direct all those to one place. And then maybe we do it in reverse, right? Maybe we take the Communities Foundation money and we send some lower money to the Equestrian Center for them to buy more fence. And we say, here, send this here and give it to these folks. And we get some more money to, through either Micah or the sale barn and say, here's some more money for hay and here's the people that need it. Make sure it goes here. But if we just have one centralized spot to at least take in cash, I think that's the main thing. These guys know, they've already talked to folks, they know where some fence can go. Austin knows where the hay can go. And he's good, hopefully he and Micah can work that out and start a spreadsheet, of who needs what. But that was my hope of really calling the meeting today, so that very reason. Otherwise we're gonna do it here. And it's not gonna be anybody's fault because everybody's gonna be applying to everybody's 501c3 or nonprofit and saying, hey, I need help. And if we're not communicating and we're all not all going in the same direction, some people are going to get left with nothing, and someone's going to get probably more than they deserve, not because they tried to make that happen. It's just that there might be those resources available.
Your committee would help a lot with that of who's calling and seeing what you need, what have you got. And if your committee's working with Micah and your fencing committee, that communication back and forth is going to go a long way in helping keep that spreadsheet going.
Ideally, I think you'd have Mike would be on the committee, Gordon would be on the committee, someone from the sale barn would be on the committee. I mean, that would be your group, so that all the groups that have already started know exactly what's happening with the overarching effort.
The other thing with foundations, we did reach out to Wyoming Community Foundation to see if they could be our vehicle. Unfortunately, the way their bylaws are written, they can't make direct payments to producers or companies, so we had to move them off of our list of available vehicles. Basically, all they would be able to do is reimburse for hotel rooms or give gas cards. And we know that's not the relief that you need, so we're trying to build this airplane as we fly it in a way that it's going to get the most relief to people the quickest way possible.
Okay, anything else? Yes, ma'am.
I just have a random idea. Are there grants available? Or does anybody, grant writers or know anything about grants in this room?
There are grants available. A lot of it's going to go through Fed, but there are a lot of private foundations that will do stuff like this. So, yeah, it's possible. It's just a matter of gathering up who they are and what they fund and then submitting the to them. They're not emergency at all. They're going to be long term.
Mm-hmm. About maybe leveraging some of these committees and auxiliary grants.
Long term. Yeah, absolutely.
So on that, Meg, I mean, one of the things Zach and our little group, Anita, talked about yesterday was the conservation districts have, both of them have self-reserve funds. Those are the kind of funds you can use to leverage to go get some of those other grant funds. And we talked about that yesterday. For example, we talked about invasive spraying for the invasives, because that's going to be a big deal. That's going to be an unbelievable amount of money. Probably somewhere between 10 to 15 million. We don't know exactly. Depends exactly how much when we get out there and survey. But for example, and then one of the things that's on the list here next is state funding. There's not a whole lot of state funding available, but that's one area. Senator Barlow can talk about it too, but that spraying for invasives is one place we might be able to get some money. I mean, we do that now through the Wildlife Trust Fund. We might be able to, maybe this next session, get some additional money stuck into that just for all the wildfires in northern Wyoming, because that's one place we can't spend that money. Now, a lot of that has some matching requirements, and so that's one of the things we talked about is maybe using some of the money we raise or some of the money that our conservation districts have saved up for things like this to be able to match some of that.
And just so you know too, a lot of those match funds don't have to be cash. They can be in kind or donated time. So that's a kind of a record that needs to be done on the side maybe so that we can access that.
Okay. All right, anything else on that? The next thing we haven't covered, Meg, you had written some about Farm Bureau and possibly...
I know Kylie just mentioned it briefly yesterday that she had talked to some people at Farm Bureau. I don't know which Farm Bureau. I'm thinking it was in Campbell County. But I just want to make sure if anybody was on the grid that was affiliated with that or knew anything that that was voiced, because it was... She brought it up that they were trying to help with hay as well.
I think there's a Farm Bureau Federation that maybe discusses that they can pay your own community, that they can help you through an application process through your insurance options.
Okay. Jody's Summit Church is on the list.
Yeah, so, of course, even Sunday, all the people in the choir are just like, how can we help? What can we do? And it's not a whole bunch of ranchers that can get out there and build fences with you. But I just want all of you in here to know how loved you are and how much everybody wants to take care of you. And I'm sure you're thinking, these are small potatoes. We can't even think about these small potatoes yet. And that is sort of like our point. We want to think about your small potatoes. And Cassie was helping me out yesterday and Meg, just trying to get a list of who the families are, and we're talking about all the big things out on the range and the livestock and all that, but you still have to come home to your homes at night, and I have a list of wives to call here, but these wives are out working with you guys, and we would love, there'll be another set of phone calls, but just if we can have dinner waiting for you, and we know it's hard to plan, when are you going to do that, when do you need this, and so we would love to just have like a bank of freezer meals, so none of you have to fix dinner for the next however long, and just to gather your needs, and we're trying to sort of, we do have good resources to marshal troops to do little things. So if you might say, we're not sure when, but on such and such day, we're gonna need to have people pull out our fence, and then you could call us and we could say, we have a bunch of people, we can't build your fence, you don't want the fence, we'll build, but we can certainly pull out posts when it comes to that time. We can drive a truck down a line and pitch in charred posts, or you know, if you have a crew coming out, we can feed them all lunch, and you don't have to know right when that is, but you could know that we could be your contact with people waiting to do that for you. If you say, all right, all my guys are coming to build a fence, hopefully not October 30th, but September 13th or something, we'll say, we've got your lunch, we'll have it out there to you. Or if you just say, we don't even have time to get to town, can we send you a grocery list, and we can pick it up and deliver it to you? Or we could organize days or people if you say, you know, we've got to get out there and do this stuff. What do we do with our kids? We can, you know, get them transferred around town, or take care of your littler kids. Or, you know, like Jake, I was talking to your mom yesterday, and we're talking about all the little things to do. We're like, we can come wash the slurry off your house. We're like, oh, I have great pictures of Sarah already doing that. But Sarah probably could have spent her time another way, you know. So just the little things that don't need your ranching expertise, we're going to be trying to make calls to figure out what those might be and plug people into that. And I know it seems little, but we all want to help, and little is what we can do. So, yeah, we should be in touch, or if you don't hear from us, if you want to give Summit a call, and I've talked to the Ministerial Association, and there's everybody in town is wanting to help with meals and help with, you know, stock your freezer, stock all these things, so you don't have to think about where that's going to come from. So, basically, the in-the-ranch-yard needs are what we want to help out with, so we'll be in touch on that, and Cass is helping me out on it, and helping me figure out who leases, what of the properties were on that map. And so that's just where we stand. We just want you to know we've got the hands in the house, so you can keep the hands out on your range doing what you need to be doing. There's a lot of stuff going on Facebook also. Like, we're going to try to sort of squash some of the ice. It's like looking for housewares and clothes for all the people whose homes burned down. Right, nobody's homes burned down. So if we can get ahead of that, and I think Meg was saying she will blast all that out when we get our system set up to sort of shut down, people going sideways instead of going forward in these efforts to try to help you people out. So that's our focus.
All right, thanks, Jody.
Barry, as she says that, and I appreciate all that, but things that I think about is we roll up this old fence when the fencing comes. Can there be a drop-off point?
Yes.
Will that be the dump that will recycle this old material? Because there will be hundreds of miles of fence that's rolled up. What are we going to do with the old posts? Is there going to be, because I know normally the programs won't pay until everything's removed, so is there a place that we can pile posts? And hate to use the word burn them, but what can we
And so, Dave, I'm going to focus that back. So Jimmy Calliani, who is right back there, is Johnson County's Emergency Management Coordinator. That's part of our debris management plan that we're going to implement. So, yes, in the coming days, we will announce where that spot, and it probably won't be the landfill, because I don't think they're going to be able to handle the amount of wire, and our hope is that we will get that recycled. But yes, posts, all of that stuff. That is in the works. That's part of the FEMA planning that his office does, and he will be reaching out to everyone that is going to have fence with where that stuff can go, and then hopefully, yes, we can coordinate those folks that want to help get it there so that you don't have to haul it off your place once it's piled up.
Thank you.
I think y'all are going to get tired of all of us calling. Oh, that's another person. So Kirby already talked about the livestock board. Vet services, maybe you had included that on there. That there's.
I think pretty much any rancher knows at this point. Contact your veterinarian ASAP with any affected livestock. There's donated drugs coming in and subsidized drugs. Like I saw, Dallas just got a ton of enforce and back sent in. But they can't know what to order or ask for if you don't get ahead of it. So just don't be shy about it.
I had a guy from Zoetis call me. A good friend of mine who's the VP of Zoetis Animal Health. And they're sending Draxin and Bantamine to all the local vets here. So any person that needs it, just go there and they'll be there for the taking.
Thank you.
I have in my own operation, I ordered a portable corral. It's on its way from Texas. So if anybody has a large number of herd cows and can't go rope and doctor, we can spread it out. I can get it to you. I know preconditioning is happening, and right now we could set it up, run a big set of cans through it. It's got a hydraulic chute on it, alley. It'll hold, you know, a numerous head, so we can hook it up, gooseneck, haul it out to out and dig flat with no fences and gather a bunch of cows. So I just been talking to the gentleman. He's trying to get it up here as fast as we can. And we can just jump it around to different guys if it's possible.
And that's a perfect segue. Johnson County Emergency Management also has a portable corral that is available, again, through Jimmy and his office. So if you need that to get shipped out right now, or we have that available and it's ready to go. It's here, and I believe it's stationed at the fairgrounds right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, anything else on that? Cassie, you want to talk a little bit about the private businesses that you've been...
I've just been trying to capture offers, and like, if I see them and come through, we'll maybe try to just get a list and we can disseminate that list out there somehow. That's all I have. And if there's others that aren't on this list, if you see it, call us and we can get it on the list. Just trying to keep track of it all.
Okay. The next thing on the list is mental health, counseling availability, which I think is a big thing. Most of us probably aren't going to sign up for that ourselves, but if you see a neighbor, a friend that needs it, I think that's, you know, it's on us to make sure somebody knows about that. Make sure everybody knows. Make sure you get a hold of somebody. If you have a friend or a neighbor that you think needs help, just make the call. Yes, actually.
With that, Alliance for Hope at KC had a suicide awareness team roping scheduled for this 2 weeks out. I've been talking with them, and it's switching all of them because of mental health, but they decided all proceeds will go to help with fencing, so we'll get these other guys. But down there, Hugh and Natalie are really working on it.
So I might offer something on this. Yesterday there was a town hall in Gillette, and there were several hundred people there, affected folks just like you. And I happened to be talking to one of my neighbors, who is an elderly gal with a 95-year-old mother. And, you know, they'd never seen anything like this. And so there's folks out there, this is really important. And I'm going to check on her probably every day, her and mom, for a while, because this is devastating to a family like that. That's all they've ever known. 95 years, that woman was born on that place. So when you see your entire place and the fire started, that fire started right on their place. So anyway, I don't want to, I know some of us may think we're tough enough, but maybe we're not. Maybe we're not. Look out for those folks that are going to really feel this in their hearts. All they know. It's all they know.
I talked to her yesterday. You're right. They're devastated.
Can I also say your first responders that spent the night in hell? You might check on some of those kids. This was their first fire, and they're feeling a little trauma. I mean, you might check. You know, I mean, they aren't affected now, but they were there helping out. And I think you might check on some of them firefighters.
Yeah. If I follow up on that, last night a lot of them were at this meeting, and there was, and I was on some of the lines with them, and they were shell shocked.
I was out there, and I'm still a little shell shocked.
Thank you.
Can I just say something regarding it? Having talked about people, the state of mind, anger is one of the features of grief. And thank God that we had a group of people who came together, no matter what their perspectives on life were, and helped in ways that I could not even imagine. We didn't lose as much because we had neighbors that showed up and did stuff that we never would agree that they would have done. And I just wanted, it was frustrating and confusing, and we did, you know, there was like, who do you call? It was very confusing. But thank God for all of you, and for Barry, and for Bill, and for Marilyn. I thought, my gosh, she had one night, and then she got to go back into the emergency stuff. I mean, we had a lot of people who pitched in, and I personally didn't lose so much, but I thank you for all of the work that you all did, which is, it still amazes me that we came through, even as bad as it is, with as much together, and the community really matters, so it's huge, so we do need to look after each other. It's been important.
Meg, do you think, I mean, you have a list of proposed topics, but I think we kind of got through all of those. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, add, throw out? Because I think what I was thinking, before we leave, maybe we can all decide on what we do, but what I was thinking is we probably set up two committees, and one committee would be to start reaching out, getting hold of people, having them fill out the form. What are your needs? Like, tell us how we can be helpful, whatever that is. And in particular on, I think, hay delivery and fence delivery right now. One committee to do that, and then another committee, if we're able to use the Communities Foundation, another committee that's willing to be able to do all the groundwork on that. And that's just a matter of getting a bank account set up, getting a Facebook account set up, and doing all the reach out, but also being willing to figure out how we're going to divide all that money and get it out to who needs it. And any thoughts on that? Does that sound like a decent plan? Does anybody have a better idea, which I'm sure you do, so speak up, please.
So that pitch for forms, there's a form over there if you are interested in serving on a committee, a subcommittee. Also, if you have specific skills like setting up Etsy or those things where we could take online donations, those are boxes to check on that form. You can return those. That's an online business, I understand. I don't know what this stuff is. I don't Facebook, my MySpace, or whatever, Twitter, that thing. Yeah, we'll borrow the senator's flip phone right there. But you're welcome to take that home and pull it out. Can return those to the commissioner's office. We'll be kind of the central gathering hub until that group is up on its own, and it'll probably have its own email address, PO box, and those things. But for now, we'll be the intake point. We'll be putting together those lists. Stuff will continue to get posted on the Johnson County website. If you have websites or email lists that can help us push that information out. We've got Kate from 307 Info is here. We really appreciate her partnership in helping push out information. I know the bulletin's in the back. One of the sad things in the community is we don't have a community radio station anymore. So we can't go on to Community Speaks and talk about what our efforts are, how people coordinate and give. So we are going to rely on a lot of you to help us push that information out. But if we don't know how to get in touch with you, that makes it more difficult. So whether on the sign-in sheet as you came in or on that form, again, if you're a producer and you have not returned your data to us yet, we need that. Thanks. I got two more. I'll just put this in perspective. So this was as of 1 this morning when I was tabulating numbers. We're looking at $23.4 million in loss. That would be about $12 million just to treat the affected acres for cheatgrass. And preliminary numbers is $10.7 million in the cost to replace the fencing. So this is going to be a long recovery, but we will do what we can in the immediate to get the people what they need, which is what the non-governmental assistance is going to be. The governmental, they're coming over the hill, but we got to get that first mile taken care of so that you can get your calves shipped, you can get stuff fed, you can get your water back on. And the other thing, we know there are small businesses that are going to be impacted by this disaster that are supporting of the ranching industry. I think of my friends in the outfitting community that probably may never be able to hunt like they did prior to this fire, and certainly are going to be years. There's a lot of your, and some of you in the ranch community work for those folks as a sideline income. So we'll be doing what we can through SBA to help them. We're trying to figure out how to quantify that, but no help for the businesses that maybe didn't get burned up but are going to see a significant drop in their ability to operate. We'll try to find ways to help them as well.
Anything else? Yes.
I'd just like to thank everybody for coming and appreciate all the support that is out there for the relief. But I just want to remind you guys that of what the people you're dealing with. And I'm going to make it funny, but it's very true. Dave Bellis will go anywhere to help you. But when you say you need help, he'll say, nah. So I want you guys to be patient with us. And that we're drinking from a fire hose. We're doing the best we can. Relief is important. But right now our focus is on critters. Not the fence that needs to go in. Not the hay that needs to be in front of them. Our focus is on, like, Dave, get these guys out of here. They got nothing. We got to get them the hell out of here. So be patient. You may get grumbled and growled at a little bit. It's not because you're trying to help. It's because of what's in front of these people right now. And it's all these, most all these guys are generational. It's happened to them, but not to this scale. And if they couldn't handle it mentally, they probably are out of it. That's genetic. It's passed on through. So are they going to be able to handle it? I hope so. Just be patient with them. Give them time to process what you're throwing in front of them, because it is really hard to drink out of fire. So patience is all I ask. And everybody's grateful. Don't get me wrong. It just may take 30 minutes of, oh, I was kind of an ass to that person. I better call them back. That's all I got, boys.
Mary's going to step out because he's got to jump on a call with Senator Lummis. She's been fantastic in reaching out. We did get initial help from Congresswoman Hagman's office on that FEMA declaration, but I'll tell you, we've been kind of hanging by ourselves without any help, so we're working as hard as we can on your behalf.
Thank you both for doing behind the scenes work.
No problem. All right, so we'll try to get the committee set up. I mean, if you're willing to do, make sure you fill out one of those and write at the top, willing to serve on one of the committees. So not like put a big X at the top so we can get that set up today. And I think by the end of today, we should be able to have all that rolling. And by hopefully, you know, by tomorrow, we can have bank accounts set up, way to contribute online, etc. We'll need people. We'll need folks. Seats. You know, bridges and seats to make that happen. So thank you. Thanks, everybody, for being here.
Is there anything that we didn't cover or any points anybody wants to make? It's good to see our friends from the Wildlife Fund. We're going to be using a lot of you. To put this in perspective, there's 100,000 acres of core sage-grouse habitat, all this bird, and what we know of 18 lex. So this is going to get very, very interesting.
As I mentioned earlier, I'm with the Rocky Mountain Health Foundation, and we're already putting together some possibility of getting some monies down here fairly quickly for fall treatment for cheatgrass. We're trying to get something on the ground in the fall before the winter, and then a spring treatment as well. So we're working really hard to see if we can pull some funds fairly quickly from our national organization to get at least something on the ground somewhere so we can get some control on this.
And I'm hoping if you don't know, or you're going to know very well very soon, Alan Buff, who is our head of the Johnson County Meat and Pets, and will kind of be the coordinator and the conduit of all those different areas, because we love the Elk Foundation. We raise a lot of money here each year for Elk Foundation. So let's put some of that money back to work on the ground.
And that's what we want to do. So we're going to do that. And then in January, we'll have some additional grant funding available for people to write to. And I can get my number out. You can coordinate that through me. Our regional director is up in Sheridan, so we're both very local here for you. But yes, we're ready and working already on some of that work.
There are copies of the emergency order from the Wyoming Department of the Livestock Board over on the table as well. If you need that, if we run out of copies of something, just let us know. Kristen Kenyon, who's our incredible commissioner's assistant, can make more, and you're always welcome to call her and share your thoughts and concerns. And then she tells us. Anyway, thank you.